får gå inn og øve litt. Ja, fremad mars, Jens Petrus Andersen. Tuban venter.
Wow, wow, wow. Andy. I hadn't even sat down and this guy opened the door.
Ja.
Begynner å... How about that?
Begynner å tynnes ut I disse
hyllene. Okay, I guess we just run the intro.
What the... What do we know? And then what are we not supposed to know? Not supposed to know.
The roar you hear is...
Tickets, please. Tickets, please. Oh, fuck. All right. December 6th. And we already opened the door, my guy. Welcome to Frothland. And I am Fox Froth. Wait. I am Fox Froth.
Mister.
No, I am Fox Froth. No!
The ruler of Frothland.
There you go. The ruler of Frothland. I'm also just a guy here in Oslo, Norway. Let's see. No longer homeless. No longer in a coma. No. Well, still around. No longer in my 30s. I should say. And, all right, my boys sets, buckos, buckets. All you, my guys. It's December the 6th, and the shoemaker, Anderson. I mentioned him last episode. He already opened the door, my guy, so I guess we're just going to head straight into it. Day 4 with no Wi-Fi, even though they promised. A promise doesn't always include the words "I promise," but you know, the guy I spoke to yesterday, Dennis, that wasn't his name, but I mean, let's just call him Internet Bob. He said, "I promise you, we'll be back online tomorrow, at the latest." He might have included, "I promise," because I made him say so. And he might have just said it that way. But right now, honestly, that seems about as relevant as an empty chocolate calendar on December 6th. So I'm still offline, yet still recording. Because even though I don't recall saying the exact words, I did make a promise. I said we would open a door here every day for 24 days. So that's what I'm going to do, my guy. And I mean, if you're a longtime listener, I've loved you for that long, my guy. And I've felt your love. I don't love to feel like a disappointment. And to be honest, since starting this back in 2020, I have many times felt this way. Because even though I don't use the exact words, it's still a promise. And even though you stuck with me, my guy, things changed a little when I didn't do what I said I would. Sometimes, most times, it was my bad. But this time, we can blame Internet Bob, my guy. Just having some green tea. And, but anyways, you can consider these words of sincere apology. Consider the daily action of opening doors on or offline, I guess I'll be uploading, you know, later. Maybe next year. Who the fuck knows with these people? But anyways, you can consider at least the fact that I'm still trying. The action backing up the words of what's known as apology. And you can also consider my lack of tiny chocolates and internet for who knows how long. You can consider that my punishment, my guy. So you don't have to punish me. You can just relax. And then you can also continue. You can consider your continuous love and support my reward, my guy. I am sorry. I scorched a few bridges, and now I open doors for you. We Gucci, my guy? If you want to let me know, we Gucci, compa, you can just go to anchor.fm/foxfroth, F-O-X-F-R-O-T-H, foxfroth/message, not massage. And just tell me, in words, in song, in fucking Morse code if you want, anything goes. I'd love to hear from you, my guy. Also, rating the podcast, leaving a review, or even just considering any of the ways that are listed in I listed them in the description. Ways to support the podcast. It's appreciated. Frothland is a tax-free, ad-free nation, I suppose. But you know, if we're going to keep the elephant seals at bay, literally, we're going to need those fish they have in buckets in the water parks, because the fatter they are, the slower they are, and that's just how it works. And I mean, it's not like you're just putting money in a hat. You don't know what to get someone for Christmas. Got a budget for like, I don't know, $19.90. My guy. Then you can just take a deep breath. Sigh of relief. And just relax, my guy. I got you. Just buy my books. The Socks, Part 1. That's the S period, U period, C period, C period, S part, capital L. Because I never wrote a book before, and I never published a book before either, because I didn't write one to publish. And, well, the title, it's kind of complicated. You have to type it in exactly the way I spelt it out. And it helps also adding Fox Froth, because that's how you find it. A lot of weird stuff comes up when you just type the Socks. Not gonna tell you what it is. Anyways, there's a link in the description for that as well. And I guarantee fucking tea they don't already have one. The people you would get it for. And you know what? You probably won't. I mean, I don't know when the fuck this episode airs. But more than likely you won't be able to get the Christmas gift in time for Christmas. I just realized this. God damn it. But you know what, my guy? That sounds like I fucked up, but I didn't. I'm just really, like, for once in my life, I'm not late. I'm just really, really early, because you get it for next year, okay? And then next year, because it was supposed to be out already, then next year, maybe, if I get my acts together, you can get them part two for the next year. And so on for another year, because there will be only three parts to this book. Serious. I've been told that a book is Well, a lot of pages with words. I forgot what I was about to say, but I'm about to remember. Just, I've been told that The Sucks Part 1 is kind of like a flashlight with an A, not an E, my guy. Stop it. Anyways, it's like a flashlight because you want one in your car and one in pretty much every room of the house, just in case. It might have been something I thought, like I heard it, but in my head, kind of. But you never know. Better be safe than sorry, my guy. Anyways, December 6th, one day away from further away from my 30s, and the fourth day of being offline and out of Tiny Chocolates. I said that already, probably. As always, I am joined by my four-legged producer, Guapo, the cutest dog in the world, who you can follow on IG right now for free at Guapo Noruego, GUAPONOREGO. And I totally wanted to share that crucial piece of information with you. And my neck is not in the mouth of a dog. I think we all agree it's time to continue. Maybe, hey, Shoemaker Anderson, can you open the door again, maybe? Can you do that for me, my guy? Let's see. Can we do that?
Kommer til å stritte.
No, no, stop talking. Just open the door. There you go. Good job. Wait, does that mean he left? You le book. I don't think it takes much to decipher what this word means. If you speak English, and you probably do because you are listening to this, my guy. I mean, if you don't understand what I'm saying, maybe you just found it soothing somehow, and that's okay, but you wouldn't understand anyway, so fuck it. But yeah. Or maybe you just listen to English and speak some other language. Like, you understand it when you listen to it, but you only speak, like, Klingon. That's okay, too, my guy. We won't judge you for that. Not here. Not in Frothland. But Yule Buck. That's pretty much it, my guy. Quick caveat, though. I've done no research on this. But Yule Buck being a Norwegian holiday tradition that I, as a Norwegian, grew up with here in Norway during the holidays, I think I can offer it as much, if not more, than Wikipedia, which is obviously the only place to do research, Wikipedia or TikTok. But yeah, yesterday we learned about Klotsum and a little Klotsum singing Klotsum, Klotsum, on December 5th on that island in the Netherlands. And that made me think of Yule Book. Today I'll tell you about this seemingly dying holiday tradition and offer some of my thoughts on it. But before I do, I just have to recommend a Norwegian movie, Troll. It's out on Netflix right now. If it's not on Netflix where you are, you can still watch it with a VPN. But no VPN provider has reached out with an acceptable offer to sponsor Frothland. So I'm sorry, even
the ruler of Frothland
can't provide you with a VPN service I recommend, or a discount, or anything like that. Still, I do what you have to watch that movie. It's totally worth it, my guy. Okay. Yule Buck. In the words of Mr. Froth, that is. Young Froth was much shorter than back in the day. His age was shorter as well, probably single, or maybe barely double digits. If double, definitely first number being one, but not a teen yet. Norway is still Norway, but back then it was both colder and warmer this time of year. I mean, the weather seemed colder. Days without snow seemed rarer, unlikely, or even preposterous at times. Phones were connected to walls. Mothers on their phone would sometimes have a cigarette hanging from their lip. Crafty moms would have an extension cord hooked up to the phone so they could bring it with them from room to room. If they were talking to a special someone, maybe even to the bathroom, sitting on the toilet, multitasking. That could be the case for certain crafty mothers back in the day. But my mom, she was both a smoker and crafty. Not sure if she ever multitasked on the toilet seat with the phone. I just heard it back in my head, and I'm sorry, Mom. But she was mostly crafty, more than she was a smoker, and she didn't smoke in all the places she brought a phone. I mentioned the phone thing because that was kind of how it was warmer, I guess, or one of the things, because you had to meet in person more, and when you did, there were less distractions than there are now, I guess. Literally no notifications, except, you know, maybe you're talking to someone and there's a sign on the side of the road instructing drivers how fast to go, or maybe there's a sign with like the silhouette of children playing, and it says underneath, children playing. Then you know, you have to go slow or fast if you like to murder babies playing. But that might have consequences, my guy. But yeah, no notifications. Kind of like my life right now. Except it felt good and I had tiny chocolates. It was just good. Even if I didn't have tiny chocolates, it would still be good. Young Froth was shorter back then, but December happened then, and it's happening right now. December 1st was the day Christmas products and brochures appeared in the mailbox. Well, Christmas products appeared in the store, the brochures in the mailbox, letting you know the products were in the store. But not in fucking August, my guy. The day Christmas stuff started happening in homes, schools, everywhere, I guess, December 1st. But Julebok, that happened later, after Christmas Eve, or maybe on Christmas Eve. Who the fuck knows? I don't fucking know. Or I can't remember, I should say. When school was out and people were inside, that's when it happened. It felt late because Julebok happens in the dark. Then again, it got dark early back then as well. Probably sooner, pretty sure. Yeah, Julebok happens in the dark. Notice how I didn't say the Julebok comes around or appears in the dark. That's because, unlike Klotsum, big or little, Julebok is just an action. It's something you do, kind of like trick-or-treat, but also not. Let me explain. Whatever you do, even if you see us in funny little red hats, my guy, don't call us gnomes. Nobody would back then, but try to show someone from the U.S. a Nissa and not get a G-word in return. It happens every time, my guy. Every fucking time. It's not a gnome! Before Santa, we had just the Nisse. Different varieties, though. Gårdsnissen, or the farm Nisse, would belong to one farm in particular. And if the farmer family treated him right, he would help out with the animals and stuff, and do him wrong, and you'll have a life with no left socks for a while, if you're lucky. Today we have the Julenisse, the equivalent, and in large part, thanks to the Coca-Cola company, pretty much the same as Santa. Young Froth and friends, they all dressed up as tiny little Nisse, as Nisse in plural. Some with beards or generic Nisse, face masks, with a white beard and a mustache, white eyebrows perhaps, red cheeks. They would have that. And some of them didn't have beards. Some would just have rosy cheeks or freckles. And some kids, you know, they might have been poor, now that I think about it, because they would just draw on some freckles with a black marker. Uh-huh. All were wearing a nisselue, a red hat with a long tail or whatever. It had like a bushy tassel at the end called a dusk. Not a Santa hat, a Nissehut. And not a gnome or a smurf hat. It's a Nissehut. Nisselue. Okay, get it right, my guy. Young Froth was good with this part. Even liked it. Probably more than he liked tiny chocolates. Probably still. He was good with knocking on the doors as well. Sometimes his friends would be shy, but he wasn't. And when they opened the doors, that's when things were less good. Because you have to sing the Christmas songs, and Young Froth found it best to have loud friends. Friends with loud mouths who love to sing loud and don't know it. So they still act normal, and the people at the door might squirm a little bit, but we're too cute. And Norwegians, sober Norwegians, or slightly tipsy but fully stuffed Christmas Norwegians, aren't known for confronting kids, for singing too loud, or confronting anyone at all, really. During World War II, wearing the nisselue, or toplue, because when it's outside of Christmas, it's just a toplue. Directly translated, that would be top hat, but that wouldn't, well, it's not the same thing, is what I'm saying. Now I'm confused, and I did it myself. Good job, my guy. Thank you. But yeah, during World War II, this hat was a way of low-key showing other Norwegians that you opposed the Nazi regime, or maybe the only hats that a person had in some cases, and they were a Nazi. That could be, now that I think about it, that could have happened. But that was before Young Froth was around. Once the kids had sang enough, you know, they got some goodies, some candy, some cookies, sometimes even tiny fucking pieces of tiny fucking chocolate. Young Froth appreciated that. But you know what? He just loved going door to door with his friends. And as his friends got louder, each stop was shorter, and they had more time to knock on more doors. Efficient. Young Froth liked that as well. Not just because they got to bring more Christmas joy, or juleglede, to more people, but they also got more goodies, my guy. That's a story, I guess. But let me just talk a little about props. Because I bet you're wondering why I call it julebok. Honestly, I'm not sure. That's where trick-or-treat has us beat, I guess. It's a name that explains what it is, kind of. kind of like if you go horseback riding here, we just say you go riding. But horseback riding not only explains which animal you're riding on, but also where on the animal you sit. So, where am I going with this? Well, Trick or Treat has its beat. Because what the fuck is Yule Book? I think we had a temp at school who said it was because of the stable and the Jesus and the, or Jesus, and that the buck was sent out to get food when they ran out of food because it was cold or something. But how cold does it get in Bethlehem, my guy? Really? And how does sending food to get food make any sense anyways? Who the fuck knows? I don't fucking know. But Thor, or Thor, the god of thunder in Norse mythology, he had two bucks, Tanngnjost and Tanngrisne, the grinder of teeth and gap of teeth, is what those names mean. And Yule was celebrated before Christianity on the same day as now, basically because it was the darkest day with the least daylight, and not because they were celebrating darkness. It's the opposite, because after that day, every day would have more light. But yeah, he had bucks. I'm pretty sure he didn't sing to people, though. Also, maybe because of Thor's bucks, because he could even butcher them, cook them, and eat them. And as long as their hides and bones remained intact with marrow, he could bundle the remains up and wave his little hammer around or whatever, and they would be a buck in business or good to go. Oh, come on. Yeah. Yeah. We're buck in business, my guy. We're good to go. People ate goat back then. For you, another days probably. Now, not so much. Not even in young frost time. Before that. But bucks, Yule books, Yule book, Yule bucks, why? Well, not reaching for straws here or grasping, but you would have to make a straw buck. Literally, a buck made of straws. Well, people used to make them. I think even back then, they just bought them. Or maybe, maybe, you know, there was this sorority kind of for old ladies. They would get crafty, make stuff like that, and sell it to raise money for charity. So yeah, but a buck made of straws, usually with a red bow on it. And you could have it for decoration, like by your front door, kind of. There's probably a reason why. Now I'm curious. But if I start Googling now, we're getting derailed. But yeah, sometimes, or usually, depending on how I remember things, one of the kids will usually carry one of those around, going door to door for Yule Book. So just like young froth, I don't fucking know why it was there, but it was. Another prop was the Yule Neck, or a sheaf. In English, a Christmas sheaf, a bundle or bunch of cereal crop stems with grains and all, held together by, you guessed it, a red fucking bow, my guy. Good job. The rest of the year, they were called fuglenek or bird sheaves because that's who they were for. You would hang them up, maybe somewhere in the garden, maybe just like on your porch or something, for the birds. Again, nobody told young Froth why they would carry that around for the Yule book. But, you know, sometimes kids just do stuff. Growing up in the countryside, young Froth and his loudmouth crier didn't always walk door to door, because unlike a town or a city, the doors were far apart sometimes, and their legs were short. Even young Froth's legs were short back then. Like all the time, the legs were short, on children. But because this was colder, it was a colder time in history, my guy, and a time with more snow and more ice, and definitely less salt and gravel on the roads. The Yule Buckaroos would travel by spark. I know what you're thinking, my guy. What the fuck is a spark? Well, I'm here to tell you. The word spark translates to kick. Another word for spark is spark stutting, or kick supporter, I guess. The English word for spark is kick sled, or spark. The spark is a sled varying in size, consisting of a chair-like seat. The top of the chair doubles as both the handles and support for the spark operator or driver, whatever. If you sit on this chair, there's a footrest at your feet. The chair and handle part and parts connecting it to both the metal footrest and the flexible metal runners extending backwards from the footrest on each side past the chair part to about 2 times the length of the chair. The spark operator propels the spark by kicking the ground by foot and steering, shifting his or hers weight from side to side on the handles, and also pushing the metal runners outwards or inwards, depending on where he or she wants to go. Pushing the runners outwards on both sides is also how you slow down, I guess, going downhill. There's actually an annual world championship. 2 championships held in Norway still, I think. But the spark is common in Finland and Sweden, as well as in Norway. And honestly, I miss traveling by spark. The other day I was walking Guapo, and I met the owner of Biggie the Beagle, and we talked about it. It made me feel older, you know, reminiscing about the spark. Everything was better back then. But yeah, he even told me how if you have like a well-kept vintage spark that's he just sold like a couple of years back, he had sold his for a respectable sum of money. Not crazy stuff, but like, I don't know, $200, you know. So that's pretty cool. But yeah, I do miss traveling by spark. And young Froth, he was definitely a fan of this, especially when he got his first dog, Nero, and reached speeds he never thought he would experience on the spark. Young Froth might be one of the last of the Yule Buckaroos, one of the last members of a dying breed, but with faint memories of a dying childhood Christmas time tradition. As faint as they are cherished, but still cherished and remembered each year. These days, kids these days They do trick or treat in Norway, even. Personally, I don't think there's anything wrong with Halloween. And the kids have fun and everything, so why the fuck not? But they don't do julebok anymore. Not as much anyways. And the spark will only make sparks on wet asphalt, but not go very far. And definitely not be faster than walking, I don't think. Even with short legs. It was kind of both warmer and colder back then. I thought of this morning when I had my ice cold shower, and it warmed my heart, just like you do, my guy. And for a while, it was kind of like the days of young Froth, warmer and colder, kind of. I mean, I think even the least confrontational, stuffed and tipsy Christmas Norwegian would at the very least close the door in my face if I showed up naked, even with a nisseluja, even if I was singing a song. So we close door number 6 as young Froth propels his spark with his kiss. His kiss with his kick. God damn it. Whooshing into a midday winter solstice sunset with a couple of loud-ass friends up front holding a straw buck, a bag full of cookies, tiny chocolates, and they got a Yule sheaf, I suppose, bringing it back for the birds. They were the Yule Buckaroos. Yep, that's it for door number 6, my guy. Yeah. But I think we got more doors than walls in this house. Maybe it's a house built of just doors. A house where you can go pretty much anywhere, pretty much all the time, my guy. But always, if that's what you want, I mean, no matter where you go, which door you choose, you can still find each other. I don't know about you, but I often find myself reading descriptions. And sometimes, there's a surprise, my guy. I know there is this time, in this description, for this episode, I mean. There might be in previous episodes as well. But if you're like me, you'll find it. And if you're not like me, you're still my guy. And Guapo is still the cutest dog in the world. World. All right. Take care, my guy. I will be back tomorrow on the day of the Froth, my birthday. And also, by the way, I don't have a catchphrase.
What, though? What do we know? And then what are we not supposed to know? Not supposed to know.
The roar you hear is the roar you roar.
Tickets, please.
Yes!
Is this thing still on?